Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Spooky Sip and Chew Show. This is our Halloween edition. That actually is a lot of things. Last Sunday in October, beautiful, gorgeous weekend. Today is the Witch's Ride downtown. Starts at 5. All up and down downtown to Tiny Square, Dolphin Street. The headquarters is going to be like the Blind Mule, which is a great restaurant, and Brady River, which is a great brewery we have here in Mobile. And looking forward to seeing everybody, because I live in the Tiny, and I like to set my chair up and get bombarded by candy. And they even throw miniatures, believe it or not, to people they know. So I still got my miniatures from last year. But how you doing this morning, Steve?
Miniature witches?
No, miniatures.
Miniatures.
You know, adult beverage.
Oh, okay. I was lost there for a moment. I didn't realize. I was thinking like little miniature statues of witches.
That's no.
Naive I am.
No. But it's a fun time. And I love this time of year because, you know, it starts us rolling into the holiday season, which is my favorite time of the year, from Halloween, from October, November, December. Just love it. And then right on into Mardi Gras, and then you got to be bored and burn up the rest of the year. 100 degrees summer. So
that's what people say.
And you know, this time, it's like I've always said, the first kickoff football game, mm-hmm. that you have that kickoff, before you know it, it's Super Bowl. Yeah. It just flies by.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on to keep you busy. But we got it lucky living here on the Gulf Coast. People are already, my sister is up in, I forgot where she's at, north somewhere, in the volleyball tournament. And it's already 20-something degrees and a little bit of snow.
No, thanks.
Wow.
No, thanks.
No. So be careful, sis. So
indeed. You were mentioning what was happening tonight.
Today is the Witch's Ride downtown. They had one in Fairhope yesterday, I believe. And today's Mobile's, and then I think last week was Daphne's, but it's a good fundraiser.
Okay.
And men and women, they all get together and they dress up like witches or their favorite ghoul, and they decorate their bikes. And I've seen some elaborate stuff, and I will be videotaping it and taking pictures this afternoon as they roll by my house.
I'm familiar with it. That's why I was asking what's all involved.
It's a lot of fun, and then they finish up, I think. They'll finish up at right around Brady River and the Blind Mule, and they'll have a big party going on. And
very cool.
Supporting the local economy like that.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot. It's a couple hundred people. Mostly ladies.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's really fun. And people line up down the street to watch it, because they go down Dolphin Street, and, you know, you got all the bars and restaurants open, and plus it's pro football today. And
oh, absolutely.
Just a lot of fun.
Question for
you.
Well, on Tuesday then, obviously, what kind of events do they have? Trick-or-treaters downtown or in your neighborhood?
Yeah, not much in my neighborhood. Most of my neighborhood's older adult, you know, mm-hmm. older people that are retired. And
sure.
Got lots of money, except for me.
You just have.
I'm just barely hanging on by the teeth, by the hair of my chin, but it's you know, I'm blessed living in a beautiful neighborhood, and a lot going on downtown. I'm close to everything, and I got a great grocery store with Greer's Marketplace the rooftop, and it's just a fun. Always something. People say, "Oh, there's nothing to do in Mobile."
Please.
Please.
Yeah,
there's plenty to do. All you got to do is look and find it.
Right.
You don't want to. You want to complain instead.
It's like this weekend, you got the fair going on. You've got, and that lasts for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of things to do.
Yeah, you got the fair going on. Be sure to go out there and see Rocky, who was on our show week four last. When did the fair start?
No, it was last weekend she was on. So it started this
Friday. Thursday. Yeah, go by and see her booth, and you want some good Cajun and Creole-type food. And, she's going to have it there at her booth there at the fair. I got to get there one night this week so I can go experience that.
There you go.
And I like going to fair. I like the smell. I like the sound.
To have an elephant ear, man.
Well, I can't eat any of that this year, but, I can smell it, and I got to ride the Flying Bob. And
you don't gain any weight by smelling it.
I'm not gaining it. Well, yeah, I don't gain any weight by smelling it. And,
it's the eating it.
But I like going to 4-H
exhibits.
And there's some. I love quilts. I grew up with quilts.
Really?
My aunts and grandparents grandmamas making quilts, and I just love it. But I've never been to G's Ben. Up in Alabama, where they're known for their quilts, they had an art exhibit at the art gallery over by Municipal Park a long time ago, and they were just beautiful. They were gorgeous. Plus, they keep you warm.
Yeah,
and I meant to buy one last time I was out at the flea market. There was somebody there selling quilts, and I meant to look at them, and I said I'll come back.
I walked right by and forgot it. Guessed you as a quilt guy.
I love. Well, they keep you warm, and
well, I get that. I mean, but
a lot of work goes into those.
I was going to say there's a lot of
a lot of work goes into it. They are art.
Absolutely.
And I won't be hanging them on my walls.
We used to have quilt groups where I grew up. You know, you'd have the ladies' quilt groups, and they would meet just before church on Wednesday nights, kind of thing, for 2 hours.
I remember my grandma and my aunts, they would, there was 18 kids in my grandmother's family.
Holy moly.
Yeah, 18. And by the time one was graduating, another one was coming
right
to the world.
Wow.
And my grandmother was the oldest of my Uncle Red. No, Uncle Herman, he was the baby. And they,
18.
When they got all older and their spouses, significant others had passed away, they all lived together to take care of each other. So I had, they had the baby and the baby and the oldest one there. Living in the same
eight
house.
In his family. My mom had seven in her family. It was just that era of big families.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, back then in the farms, they needed them in the farming community. To do stuff. And then,
I can't imagine feeding all those.
I don't know if they had kids because they wanted to have kids or have kids to do chores.
I think both.
they used to buy flour in cloth bags, and you still may can. I don't know, but
big old sack.
Creative women, they made all kind of things out of those.
That's where you had
bags.
The old phrase of she would look good even in a gunny sack.
Yeah,
comes from because they used to make if you didn't have the money, that was what they sent you to school in.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
what are we talking about today?
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about restaurant in Georgia that's charging a fee for bad parenting.
And I heard that.
Yeah, and I want to go over that and see what people's thoughts are. You can text us or give us your thought on Facebook, or you can call in. Love to have you call in at 251-343-0106, and you can text in at that line too. But let us know what your thoughts on that. I know I have some thoughts about it because I've worked in the restaurant business and I've seen people's little darlings not act so darling,
right?
But I didn't get mad at the kids. I got mad at the parents.
Well, the kids don't know unless it starts
they don't.
At home. I mean, you should have some societal decency in that regard.
There's probably some restaurants they should not go into. And I know you need to get your kids out and give them experience. About how to act in public,
right?
But there's some that are age appropriate restaurants and some that are not.
Right.
And, I wish McDonald's still had the playgrounds. Maybe they go back to hanging out there in the playgrounds.
Right, the little ball pits and all that.
But kids would have got mad during COVID because they would have crying and screaming because they can't go out there and climb up.
There's still, you know, you have restaurants like Chick-fil-A who have the play areas, mm-hmm. and some of the atrocities that kids get away with. It's just amazing. And the parents look around and go,
it is.
What? So, my kid? No, they're not doing anything.
Anyway, when we come back, hopefully Stu's going to be on the tie line with us. And but 251-343-0106 is the number you call in. And I'm going to talk about Halloween candy.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Okay, we got Stu with us now. How you doing there, Stu? You doing all right? How's slinging some noodles? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Stu, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man, let me real quick. We want to thank the people who help us out on this show. It's Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy, not too far from Stu.
Just walk by there.
Okay. And then we want to thank Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar. I was with them last night at the Lost Shaker of Salt Jimmy Buffett tribute in Fairhope on the beach. Beautiful setting, beautiful sunset, great music, good people. It was super, super, super. And
play anything from Jimmy Buffett?
A few songs. Yeah, it's all okay. Jimmy Buffett. And songs that Jimmy, by artists that Jimmy Buffett inspired. So. Had a bunch of different musicians there, but also thanks Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Go out there and look for them in your favorite grocery store. If they ain't got it, ask for it, demand it. Tell them you're gonna go shopping somewhere else if you don't. And we want to certainly thank Roy and the fine folks over there at Butch Cassidy's on O'Shell Road in the heart of Flo Shell. But hey, Stu, I want to get into. This has been all over the news, and it's a restaurant, Tocoa Riverside Restaurant near the Georgia Blue Ridge Mountains. You've been there before, Blue Ridge Mountains?
No. Blue Ridge are part of the Appalachians.
Yeah.
I've been on the Blue Ridge Trail before.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, you know, average tipping is 20%. But according to this restaurant, if you go on their Reddit page, and read about them, they are charging a $50 fee for bad parenting. Now, I take that
love
as
it.
I know you would. I have feelings and thoughts about that. I always thought that a parent should make good judgments when taking young kids out to restaurants. Worked in a restaurant business, a number of them, and I don't get mad at the kids. I get mad at the parent for allowing their kids to run around the restaurant, running around tables of people trying to enjoy their meal, hollering and chasing each other, and that's just bad parenting. And or hanging over the back of the booth, you know, dropping their toys or whatever in the booth of the people behind them, and
that's just bad.
And the parents are sitting there stuffing their face instead of making their kids turn around. And we got here's a caller that's Mike. Called in. But how do you feel about it, Stu? I know you just said.
Man, I have seen some horrible behavior. And really, in a perfect world, the restaurant would not be fining the parents. The city would.
Yeah.
That should be a finable offense because it's neglect is what it comes to. Mm-hmm. I remember at Olive Garden, there would be kids on the floor in the middle of where the servers carried the food.
There's
playing
that.
With their toys.
There's that, right
playing
there.
With their toys on the ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just like, I'm going to keep walking. If something gets on my feet, I'm going to kick it out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. I had one experience.
Because I'm working.
I had one experience with a kid, and when he would come in, I would hide the remote control way up high. He would stack chairs up on one another to try to get the remote.
Wow.
And there's football games on, and the majority of people there came there to eat barbecue and watch football, but he wanted to change it over to PBS or Cartoon Channel, and his parents let him. And I would take it away from him and just turn it back on football, and then I'd go hide, lock it up in the office.
I was raised, when you're in my house, this is the rules.
Yeah.
When you're in your house, you have your rules.
That's right. But, you know, parents ought to use better judgment on where they take your – but I want to hear what David has to say about this. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, David, let's hear
you. Well, I'm doing good. I got a little bit about that, but it leads me into another conversation that I guess overall, all my years eating out, I hadn't seen the issue as much as y'all have being in the business. But I agree with you that it's a lack of, as my mother would say, lack of upbringing. But what leads me to what caught my ear when you said that was, it's the same thing, I think, if you go to schools, kids acting up in the classroom, affecting other kids, keeping the teacher from doing her teaching.
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be some kind of consequence. Not so, you know, the kids learn from the parents and the surrounding.
Yeah.
So at a young age, you've got to put some of this blame on the parents. I mean, it may not always be the case, but majority of the time, I think it's a lack of parents not doing their job.
Right, right.
And that creates, you know, you can start there at a young age, but I'm a firm believer if you go and check juvenile jails, prisons, city jails, that you would find out, if you could backtrack and look back in history, that majority of those people had bad upbringings.
Well, the word you said earlier, David, is consequence. Mm-hmm. You know, the lack of those, I think, is the biggest root of the issue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a big part of the crime that we have, is lack of upbringing. The kids was not taught, hey, do this. As an older gentleman told me one time, he said, just do what's right. This was back in business days. We talk about, you know, hey, we're making decisions. Mm-hmm. Just do what's right. You know, keep it simple. You don't need a big law book here.
I think
just do what's right. And it's lack of upbringing. Parents' upbringing is majority of the issues we
absolutely
have.
And that's why I always...
It's school, crime, and everything that's wrong.
That's why I said, I didn't get mad at the kids. I got mad at the parents. And they're in control of it or not in control of it. I'm going to tell you what, when I misbehaved anywhere... My mother would turn around in the car and look at me. She said, I am wearing your butt out when I get home.
Right.
And I cried on the way home when I was, I was getting, because she didn't just threaten me. She came through with it when I got home.
The other side of that coin is, and you guys have to, just a thought of interjection, this is where a lot of the abuse, though, we go too far one way or we go too far the other, put that in.
What were you saying, David?
But I'm a pretty firm believer in this, and y'all could check it. People on the show now could check this, but I believe if you go back and check that people that's having issues, being in, first grade, kindergarten, or a 20-year-old, 25-year-old, you would find that in most of those cases that they had one parent or no parents trying to raise them.
Yeah.
I think you find out in more cases that a child that had two parents living under the same roof trying to raise that kid right. In most cases, that kid ended up having less issues later on in life.
Right. I also have a
good point, David. Really,
I also
is a good
have
point.
Some,
thank you.
I also have some single parent friends that have done an outstanding job as a mother and having to be the mother and the father to a child because the other is a deadbeat. And there is those parents, and I applaud them. But most of my friends, they knew where they could take their kids and couldn't because it just wasn't age appropriate restaurants to go into.
Very difficult. It's a very complicated issue. Stu's parents, weren't you raised around a law enforcement background, Stu?
Oh, yeah. I can remember we went to Pizza Hut when I was 5 for my oldest sister's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I cried at the Pizza Hut. I was 7 before we went to a restaurant again.
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad also did not like crowds.
Well, he was around people all day, and I can understand that. Not the nicest type of people in a lot of cases either. You know?
No. You see the worst of people in that profession, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so what you got cooking today, Stu?
Oh, we're just getting ready to do a little Sunday cooking here. I've got the got my special grilled cheese this week, Mike, the Big Cheesy.
Oh.
But it's spelled different. Spelled different.
How you spell it?
C-H-C-H-E-A-S-Y. It is a grilled cheese sandwich with the flavors of New Orleans.
There you go. Man, you're so creative.
It's a Creole cheese blend.
And what would those flavors be?
Yeah, a Creole cheese blend, a little roasted garlic in there, and some Hall's Cajun sausage.
Ooh. Ooh. And that address again is?
267 Dolphin Street.
How late were you there last night?
The Brickyard.
How late were you there last night?
I stayed till about 12:30.
Okay, I saw
slow
the
night.
One of your neighbors there stayed till like 1:30. So, slow night.
Oh, yeah, D's down. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was incredibly slow. Not as slow as Friday.
Well, there's a lot of Halloween parties
going
on.
It's Halloween, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're up against Halloween parties. The fair started Friday night, so you've got a lot of people going to the fair now.
Jimmy Buffett thing over
there. We did have a pride rally yesterday at Mardi Gras Park, but I've found that things at Mardi Gras Park don't make it this far.
Okay. All right, buddy, we got to go on break. Talk to you on the other side.
If you want to contribute, 251-343-0106. Same
good
number
job.
To text.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, Stu, guess what day it is?
Hey, Sunday.
Besides that. Because you couldn't ask for, I guess, a better day going into as we have cooler weather coming in on Tuesday. Today is National Oatmeal Day.
Even better.
What cheese goes good with? Or would you recommend a grilled cheese sandwich to go with oatmeal?
One with brie, apples, and cinnamon on it would be nice. But yeah, there's a couple of cheeses that go in oatmeal. Cream cheese, which really isn't cheese, it's a cream, but we call it cream cheese. And another one would be ricotta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice and creamy. It's smooth. Or mascarpone.
So I had
to make tiramisu with.
I had apple and cinnamon oatmeal this morning for breakfast, now that I know that, I'll have to try that.
Never thought
I'll
of
have
it.
To try that. But
yeah.
And we got a few birthdays. Got Trace Miller, who's our own very own Leanne Miller's here at the radio station. Leanna,
also known as Mike Myers.
Yeah. Trace Miller slash Mike Myers.
Wow.
So, Jimmy Williams of today's Trace's birthday. It's also. Jimmy Williams, he owns the Whacked Out Wiener in Gulf Shore. Super nice guy. A military veteran. Great guy. Thank you for your service, Jim. And one of our loyal listeners, Diane Harrison, today is her birthday. You know, you always see her on Facebook. But I got to ask you, I'm not an anti-chain person. There are some really good chain restaurants, but I try to support as local as possible. But I've seen on Facebook or on social media, a lot of people are upset about these old Charlie's that are closing down. The one here by the station is closed. The one Daphne closed. The one
for
in
like
Foley.
2 years.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, the one in Mobile's only been closed since July, but
yeah,
it seems like it's longer.
Okay. Yeah.
The one on Schillinger's is still there.
No, it's closed. It's closed.
I'd be darned.
Yeah, it's closed.
So give me your thoughts on. My last two times, and we're not slamming places, but I'm a supporter of locally owned and regionally owned places.
Okay.
And I know it's hard to, but there's people out there that lost jobs, but there's also at the same time, there's a bunch of places begging for help.
Right. You got good cooks and, you know, that kind of thing, too, that loses.
The front chefs. Of house, back of house, everybody.
What do you think, Stu?
What do you think, buddy?
I think every time one of these conglomerates goes under, it's good for America. Like you said, there's plenty of jobs out there for the people who work at those restaurants. If you're good at what you do, people are going to hire you.
I think restaurants have been paying more now than they ever have in wages.
Yeah, and it's long overdue.
Yeah, I know you've been a big proponent of that.
We were just talking about the abusive nature, you know, in the last segment. And that's exactly what that is when the parents don't control their kids. So that they mess up other diners' meals as well. I mean, keep that in mind. You're the only person that should have to sacrifice for a child are the guardians of that child. No one else is supposed to sacrifice for them.
Absolutely. So, you know what I get? So, you know what gets me, Stu, is I see on social media, especially these, like, what's happening in Fairhope, what's happening in Daphne, what's happening in Mobile, whatever they are.
What's happening in Sims.
Yeah, what's happening at Cheesery. But they'll go, does anybody know who's hiring my kids looking for a job? Yes, get your kid, if your kid can't drive, put them in a car and go find them a job. Help them find a job. Make them go in there. I can't stand when I've run a business, people walk in, either a girl comes in with her boyfriend or a guy comes in with his girlfriend or the parent. Now, it's okay. Just drop your kid off. Don't sit there and talk for your kid.
That came through the helicopter parent.
Yeah.
That came through helicopter parenting that's happened over the past 20-some years. And it's like you can't protect them over everything. You have to let them go and let them learn on their own.
I remember the first time I applied for a job, I went up there with a coat and tie on. The Dell Champs at the warehouse, the main office downtown on Water Street.
Shoot, now they interview in shorts.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire them. They may be awesome kids, but that's not the way you ask for a job and go apply for a job. I'm sorry. So,
back to the original question.
Yeah.
When these chains go, the thing you have to ask yourself about going to a chain restaurant is there someone local who's doing the same menu? Was there anything on O'Charley's menu that you couldn't get anywhere else? Burgers,
not really.
Steaks?
Not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Filet mignon, so, and stuff like that. Victoria steak.
I look at briskets. Briquettes.
Briquettes.
They do a filet mignon. They do a ribeye. They do wonderful steaks there, and I'm sorry, I just don't cry when the chain shuts down. I feel sorry for the people, but you know.
Well, as long as they get other employment, that's a no lose. Now you could the investors, they said, "Well, we lost." Well, yeah, but you didn't work in the restaurant, so what really did you lose? You put no effort into it. Sure, you put money into it, but you've got a lot of it.
Right.
You know, you put no effort into it. I've always had a problem with anyone that owned a place that said, you've got to take customers all the way up until 5 minutes after we're closed, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I could respect that.
Were there wild kids?
But it came down to the... No, I would respect an owner did that if they got off their butt and went down there and worked that with the employees. But if you haven't closed a restaurant in 5-10 years, you shouldn't be making any demands like that. There's no dues you pay that give you that right. And that's a restaurant owner kind of thing, and you'll find that a whole lot more from commercial, you know, the chain restaurants, because the people that run those companies have never worked in a restaurant.
They're not vested in.
Right. Well, they don't understand that all this is this is an investment to them, and they think they can run it like any other business. And any businessman that thinks you can run a restaurant like by the same rules of any other retail business is a fool.
Yeah.
I can apply that across the board on a lot of businesses, to be
honest. Now, I've seen nationwide there are a lot of long-time restaurants that are, you know, mom-and-pop restaurants have been, you know, passed down. That's what hurts me to see close down. You know,
right.
They passed it down to their kids, and
kids don't have any interest in doing anything with it.
I ate at Gambino's last night. great meal. I had a wonderful meal, and I've never had a bad meal there. It's always been wonderful. And the Gambino family, they walk around and greet everybody. Rick was there, and Josh, who now runs it, his daughter's in her early 20s, mm-hmm. Maddie. And I asked her one day, I said, what are you going to do? Are you in college? No, I work here. Hmm. And I said, what's your future plan? She said, I'm going to take over the restaurant. She will be five generations to take over that restaurant.
Yep. Speaking of invested.
Yeah, you know, and you don't see a lot of kids that were raised in restaurants want to take over the company.
Yeah. You know. Well, you know, anytime a parent has a tough job, mm-hmm. part of their job as a parent is to let their kids know the reality of it. My father was really clear with my brother and I. He said, I don't want you to follow in my footsteps. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to do this job because I did this job and you want to follow in the tradition. This is a dangerous job. It's not thankful. You will not make much money. It will probably cost you a marriage.
Or two.
So unless you are passionate about being a law enforcement officer, don't do it.
Yeah.
And my brother did. He went to work for the sheriff's department, but he wasn't there very long before he realized patrol was not his thing. But he was a terrific photographer, and he became a crime scene photographer.
There you go.
The only issue with that, my brother does not handle blood and gore very well. So he went back to school and became an electrician.
Shocking. I had a friend, his dad was the FBI agent. And he did like the same thing. But he ended up being a photographer. I think he did some photography for the FBI and documenting all that stuff. And he writes books now, believe it or not.
I think if you find a place where you started your profession, even in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. you know, you may start out as a waiter and find out, oh, hey, I'd like to do chefing. Being a chef, I don't think word chefing is right, but I mean, you got to cook.
Being a chef.
Being a chef, yeah. Yes. You know, but or you want to be a culinary specialist in a certain specialty. You discover that, is my mm-hmm. point, as you go along.
Yeah.
All right. And just to clear up that little note that seemed like y'all had a little confusion there, chef is a title. It's a position.
Means
we're
chief.
We're all cooks.
Means chief.
We're all cooks.
Yeah.
I was saying everybody chefing. That's in there I cooking thought it was a mispronounced a word. That was all I was saying.
Emeril Lagasse is a cook.
Yeah.
Bobby Flay, a cook. Wolfgang Puck, a cook.
Okay.
I'm a cook.
Mm-hmm.
Our title is chef.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can remember the best example I can give of how we treat that within the industry was when they were doing the next Iron Chef, the second season of it, and they had Ming Tsai in there, who's this very famous chef from Massachusetts, and a bunch of other famous chefs, and they had this guy named Mark Forgione that no one had really ever heard of before, and he is the son of a very well-known chef, and Ming Tsai said, I don't know who Mark Forgione is, but I know who his dad is, and he's a hell of a cook.
You know? Where is he now?
Mark Forgione?
Mm-hmm.
He's an Iron Chef.
Oh, cool.
He won the competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His restaurants are in Northern California. His dad does events with CIA Greystone, which is the campus that... Culinary Institute of America operates in Northern California. It used to be, Mike, you'd love this, it used to be a vineyard.
Oh, wow. Hey, did you see the Albertos who owns C'est Le Vin over in Gulf Shores at Owa? They're just spending a week out in California, Napa Valley. And did you see where they ate at last weekend?
Would it be the French Laundry?
Absolutely. Those lucky ducks. I swear.
I don't think the list to get on the reservation is as long as it was when it was the number one restaurant in America, but yeah. It's still it's not just that it was the number one restaurant for so long.
Yeah.
It's just how monumental it was for this country.
All right, buddy, we gotta take a break.
Here, folks, so
oh well thank you, Stu. It's good talking to you. Take cool. Be cool, buddy. 251-343-0106. Give us a call or text.
Now
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, welcome back. Steve.
Yes.
Did you watch Triple D, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives this past Friday night?
I saw something about the Noble South.
You saw the rerun from the week before, yeah. That was Chris and his staff at Noble South. Love that place.
Yeah, I haven't been, but I now am aware of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going.
Well, I was at a Halloween party Friday night at Le Vachon. And when the new episode came on with Southwood Kitchen over in Daphne,
okay,
everybody got quiet and watched it. And everybody's piled up around the televisions watching it, except for one guy who wanted to see a basketball game.
Oh,
he ain't from
that.
Around here. And he ain't from around here, but now we all sit there and watch. We didn't hear it, but we had the the texting at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could just look at the food and I knew what they were talking about. And they had Stretch from one of guys' favorite chefs that he deals with in Mess Lords and mm-hmm. and the Guy's Kitchen and all that. You know. Guy's Grocery Games, and he's a hoot. Stretch, when they were here and they were filming all that, Stretch, and then Fred from Smash Mouth, they were so darn Cowboy Mouth. They were so dang funny, and I could see that with Pete and mm-hmm. Guy and Stretch and Fred. They're just a fun group of guys
mm-hmm.
that he put together, and it's like he handpicked them, but it changed their life, you know. But this is certainly going to change, you know, Noble South's life. Noble South's always been busy anyway, but it's really going to change. And then for Southwood Kitchen, and he was doing a pork shank. Oh my God, I could taste it.
Just looking at it.
I could taste it.
The one that gets me, I'm looking at the pickled shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And the deviled eggs. When you start giving me deviled eggs, you just clear out a room, literally, on me for Thanksgiving when it comes to deviled eggs.
Absolutely.
So I'm ready to go down.
Well, that's so cool that they came here and there's still four more places left to show. I don't know when they're going to be shown again. They're going to be showing Hummingbird Way, Nova Coffee, the Front Yard Tacos over there at Nova. This is like two doors down from my house.
Right.
And also, you've got Roosters.
Mm-hmm. Left out.
And then there's one other that I don't have a confirmation on. I think it's Meatballs. I think that's
really?
The other one, yeah. So looking forward to seeing all of them, and I wish every one of them well. I really do. But, I was in the wine business for a long time, and I love pairing wines up with weird stuff.
With weird stuff.
I've done potato chips. I've done Girl Scout cookies. But
really?
One I haven't done yet is Halloween candy. And one I'm going to be doing is moon pies. I am going to be doing moon pies and wine. But I've got a list, but I can't find of what wines go with Halloween candy.
Wow.
So there are wines that go out there. But in the spirit of Halloween, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
My favorite Halloween candy, yeah, it's tough. I like the M&Ms. I'm kind of a mainstream Reese's guy.
Nuts without nuts.
Yeah, I like Almond Joys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like Mounds Almond Joy, but I love the little Kit Kats. But my favorite candy of all is Smarties.
Ah, there was one called Sixlets. You remember Sixlets? They're like these mini malted milk balls, maybe 12 inches long, and just a little bit thing. You took them and they had the cellophane wrapper, and you just put them in your mouth, and you're all the way out until they came out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those. You don't see many of those. You see the mainstream, like we just mentioned, you know, the M&Ms.
Right.
And candy corn, forget it. No. No. Popcorn balls used to be huge when I was a kid. The popcorn balls and apples, you know, fruit. Even dried prunes, you know, things like that when I grew up. So it was always a treat, so to speak, walking around some of the neighbors getting that. I was like, yeah, no. But I think that's where that came from. How about you?
Well, Smarties. But, you know, I know there's a lot of fans of this one, but there's a lot of haters. You know what I'm talking about.
Candy corn.
Candy corn.
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm one of those haters. I can't stand it. Licorice.
They're fun to play
one.
With. And you know, they're
play with candy corn?
You know how you eat a candy corn?
You make it look like an ear of corn.
You open the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You pour them in the garbage. And then you eat a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Well, I've seen people, you know what they, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but the candy corn is kernels of corn.
Uh-huh.
And obviously if you put it together, you can make a corn cob.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Who sat down and went, say, I got an idea. Start putting these back together. It's like, what? Really? What other time have you got in your hands?
Lord.
Yeah. Not candy corn. It's not my favorite. Licorice is another one I can't deal. My dad used to love black licorice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like your Twizzlers, things like that. I don't.
Well, you know, there's some of the red licorice. Growing up as a little kid, I used the little pixie straws. But then they had the one that's like 3 foot long.
Right.
Plastic one. Man,
right.
I love those. My lips and my tongue was always whatever color it was.
So, kid, just off the top of your head, you would pair what wine with? I mean, that's more of a treat, like a cake kind of thing, isn't it?
I'm going to have to study it.
You know, you do carrot cake
have to study.
Or something like that in the Halloween. Do you do anything like that? Pies?
Is it
or anything
close
like
to
that?
A carrot cake?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a fall dish.
It's just like pure sugar.
Oh, not carrot cake. No.
I love carrot cake. That's probably my favorite cake of all. But candy corn, I mean, it's so sweet.
What I'm asking, Mike, is would you pair it with candy, wine with candy, sugar with sugar, or alcohol?
Yeah, you can pair it with that. There is a chart that I've looked at, and I've questioned some of the selections, but
mm-hmm.
I just like, I don't know about that, you know.
Interesting.
But, you know,
that's
it's
why I was
easy.
Asking, I guess what I was thinking, you know, more of a cake and a wine rather than a candy and a wine. I don't know.
Well, it's easy with chocolate.
That's true.
Chocolate, you can do Chianti, you can do Cabernet, I would think with a candy corn, it'd probably be a Sauvignon Blanc. But
a dry wine?
A dry white wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sangiovese. Pinot Noir, if it depends on if you do an Oregon Pinot or if you do a Burgundian or if you do a California Russian River area, which just tends to be a little more sweeter.
Okay.
But where Oregon's earthier. And I would think, to me, chocolate goes great with earthy flavor.
Right.
Earthy
so
style
wine. So you're saying
wines.
A dry wine with something more sugary. Is that what mm-hmm. you're saying? More of a white?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ovine Zinfandel. Oh, my God. A good Ovine Zinfandel already tastes like you just put a mouthful of fresh picked blackberries in your mouth and bit down on them because you can almost taste the seeds from the blackberries in them.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that opens up a whole idea there. Cause, you know, I'm just thinking sweet tarts with a red wine. It's like, what, you know, you know, what kind of, but what you're going for is obviously sparkling the palate, trying to to entice the palate.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like, well, that makes sense.
Or fool it.
Or fool it?
You can fool it.
Interesting.
Well, folks, it's about time to go. And we've had a good show today. Thank you for the callers we've had. And Stu, I hope you do real well today and make a lot of money, buddy. Make lots of money so you can start a giant corporation of mac and cheeseries. And so we can hope that you go out of business one day.
Oh,
no, we don't want that. We don't want him to get big. Too big. Hey, Steve. Provolone, buddy. Provolone.
I don't like juice. Chicken, ice cream, fish. I like ice cream. What's this? This is juice.